Hey, good morning, church family. How are we doing? Good, good. It's a blessing and an honor to be here with you guys this morning, and really just to be able to give you guys just a message of hope this Easter. You know, I'm a staff member over at Teen Challenge. I've been with the ministry for about 3 years, a graduate of the program, and, you know, Resurrection Sunday just really resonates and sits in my heart because, you know, I once was dead in sin, you know, but because of a loving Savior, He rescued me out of the domain of darkness and entered me into His kingdom of light. And it's just an honor to be able to share a message of hope with you this morning. So Jesus had to die. Jesus, God in the form of man, walked among us. He taught us many things. He led His disciples and empowered them to do the work of the Father here on earth. While Jesus was here on His earth with His disciples, He made it very clear that He wasn't going to be with them forever. He told them several times that the Son of Man would have to suffer many things and be rejected. In Mark 8:31, Jesus says, He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. In Luke 8:31 through 33, Jesus took the 12 outside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets and the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock Him, insult Him, spit on Him. They will flog Him and kill Him. On the third day, He will rise again." Despite His claims, His disciples had a tough time believing that. Their Savior killed, their Messiah betrayed. Jesus was flogged, mocked, spit on, beaten. He had His beard plucked out and a crown of thorns placed on His head. He was nailed to a cross. Jesus laid His life down in perfect sacrifice. When He died on the cross, His disciples began to lose hope and began to mourn. On the third day, buried in a tomb, our Savior rose from the grave. The account in Luke 24 tells us, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." They remembered His words. Jesus then appeared to the disciples. Later on in Luke 24, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at My hands and My feet," Jesus said. "It is I, Myself. Touch Me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When He said this, He showed them His hands and feet. And while they still didn't believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Do you have anything to eat here?" They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "That is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about Me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all of the nations. I'm going to send you where My Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When He led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. It is because of Jesus' resurrection and the authority that Jesus Christ demonstrated over sin, death, and the grave that we have nothing to fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of peace, love, and a sound mind. Today, because our Savior lives, we have the same hope that we will rise up and overcome death and go to be with the Father for all of eternity. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is that same power that is living inside of us. That same power that gives us power over sin. That same power that gives us power over the grave. It's not because of us, it's because of Jesus. And today we get to celebrate a living God. John 11:25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The gift of eternal life comes to all who believe in Jesus Christ, who himself is the resurrection and the life. So I can tell you today, church family, we have good news. We rejoice in a living God. We rejoice in a living Savior. And it is just such an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys today and just share that good news. Because all of us who sit here today, all of us in this room were once dead in sin, but now we're made alive in Christ. Thank you.
Happy Easter, everybody. I'm so excited right now. What is Teen Challenge? Some people call it a rehab. Some people call it a program. I call it home. And there's no place I'd rather be. And I'd tell you how long I've been here, but I'm so lost in the freedom. I don't keep track of days. I'm in love with Jesus, and I found him here. I'm free from addiction. My life started out in a lot of darkness. When I was really little, my parents got divorced, and I was molested as a child. I started using drugs at an early age, and by the time I was 18, I was breaking into cars, doing anything I could do to get a fix. I had dropped out of high school. I was sleeping behind a dumpster. Things were getting really rough, and God saved me. I was in a basement, and I was on drugs, and I was filled with confusion and anxiety. And I tried to open the Bible and read it, but I couldn't see the pages because I was hallucinating. And I cried out the name of Jesus. And when I did, it was like all that confusion turned into clarity, and all that anxiety turned to peace. And I just felt Jesus walk in the room, and he opened my eyes, and I just felt him embrace me. And it was amazing, that experience. It changed my life forever. And I was never the same. And I continued to struggle with drugs, though, after that. You know, and he kept chasing me down. And here I am at Teen Challenge, and God has shown me that I can't out-sin his love for me. He's so awesome. Like he always is just open, with open arms. Every time I mess up, he's just like, get up. And it's awesome. And, you know, I don't have to chase a drug anymore to find peace, because I've got the Prince of Peace standing right next to me. And I don't have to, praise God, I don't have to try to temporarily medicate a broken heart because he gave me a new one. And now I love everybody. Like, it's awesome. You know, when I read the word, he destroys my insecurities. I don't have to take pills for depression or anxiety. He's renewing my mind. I'm becoming a new person. And okay, so I used to cut myself. Like, I used to struggle with some serious self-harm issues. I remember soaking a towel full of blood, and now I look in the mirror, and I don't hate myself anymore. I see a masterpiece. I see what he sees. And God has blessed me with this ability to reflect who he is through art. Whoa. It's okay. God has blessed me with this ability to reflect who he is through art. And this is Jesus, and this is glory to God. I just want to say glory to God, because I failed art class. And so, yeah, and, you know, I have this joy now, obviously. And, you know, my mind used to be in such bondage. I couldn't see past my circumstances. But now, even in the midst of hard times, my brain is filled with positivity. So, glory to God.
What is reality? Reality is having to go through foster care because your own mother chose partying and getting high over taking care of her own kids. Reality is having to wear long sleeves everywhere you go because you're ashamed of the scars on your arms from shooting dope. And reality is waking up in the woods from a drug overdose because somebody dumped your body thinking you were dead. How do I know what reality is? Because that was me.
Reality is losing a father and a godfather at a very young age due to end-stage liver disease from being alcoholics their entire lives. Reality is choosing alcohol to drown out my depression from a broken marriage and almost leaving behind a wife and two kids. Reality is eventually ending up on your deathbed at the young age of 32 years old and having to learn how to function all over again and walk as a normal person. I don't ask reality, because that was me.
Reality? Reality is walking out on your family so you can get high, sell drugs, and run the streets instead of being a responsible parent and godly husband. Reality is losing your wife and kids after 13 years because you make a decision to have an affair with a prostitute, she ends up pregnant. Reality is winding up in prison after committing 6 first-degree felonies and a drug-induced crime spree. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Even though we all suffer from different realities, we are all saved by the same truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we are new creations of Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. And the truth is, Romans 8:18 tells me what I suffered cannot compare to the glory that would be shown to me. And the truth is, God blessed me with parents that loved him to adopt me and would never stop praying for me. And the truth is, I will no longer be ashamed of the scars on my arms because I will never be ashamed of what Christ has done for me. And that's my truth.
Praise God. Truth is, it was God that delivered me out of my deathbed to be the godly father, husband, and son that I was always planning on being. Truth is, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I have plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." And it's becoming more and more evident every day of my life that God's word is truth. And truth is, I know how to follow my heart in Christ, and I know my identity in him. And with a fully submitted heart, I'm ready to take on any plans and obstacles that God has faced in front of me. That's my truth.
Truth? The truth is, I've been reborn. Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me." The truth is, I found happiness, contentment, and purpose in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the truth is, despite everything I've done in my life, I have a family and a God who loves me and never gave up on me. Thanks to my family's prayers, Teen Challenge's help, and God's grace and mercy, I'm restoring my relationship with my family. I have a divine appointment, and I'm not looking back. And that's my truth.
Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Good morning, church. My name is Sean Lopez. I am 33 years old from Brooklyn, New York. I don't have any funny, godly stories as a kid. My mom was Christian. My father did not believe in God whatsoever. And he supported her throughout my entire childhood. He always took her to church, always supported her, but he just never believed in God. He was an alcoholic since his teenage years, but he was never physically abusive, verbally abusive, and I was all right with that because in my eyes, he was perfect. He did nothing wrong to me, never harmed me, never harmed my mom, my sister. Fast forward, I eventually lost my father to end-stage alcohol disease. I was 22 years old. He was 41, and my godfather, who was my father's little brother, my father's younger brother, kind of stepped in and became my best friend, took on my dad's role. And it was the same thing. All I knew was just drinking and doing graffiti, playing sports. That's pretty much all I knew. So when I had my first son, that's what I thought my perfect idea of a father was, just being an alcoholic and just being happy and content all the time. Last year, February, I lost my godfather, also to end-stage liver disease from being an alcoholic. Initially, I wound up being on my deathbed last year, May. Next week, May 3rd, makes 1 year. And I fell into a depression. I just was drinking morning, afternoon, and night, at work, before work, after work, while I was at work. And I was rushed to the hospital, where the doctors initially told my mom and my wife that I was on my deathbed, that I wouldn't survive. So my liver shut down, my kidneys shut down, I caught ammonia in my lungs, ammonia in my heart. And at the time, I couldn't hear. I mean, I could hear and I could understand. I couldn't speak. I was on an oxygen tank. And so I could hear everything. I could hear everything the doctors were telling my wife and my mom. And miraculously, I woke up out of my deathbed. I just, I left it to God. You know, I never believed in God. I never knew there was a God. I supported my wife from afar. And God woke me up. He really did. I remember waking up and really recognizing who my mom was, my wife, my kids. And it was all like a blur for me. The next 4 months I spent in a nursing home learning how to walk, how to talk, how to recognize people through pictures, how to get my speech back, how to eat, just function as a normal person. And it was pretty rough, but 4 months, and I went straight into Teen Challenge in September 2018. And since then, man, God just gave me a brand new heart. I'm learning different things about myself every single day, how to love people, how to be around brothers that really love me from afar, from a close. And everything is new to me, from the arguments and the fights and the just loving on people, man. Like, it's meeting new people every day and just me learning new things about myself, new emotions that I've literally never felt in my heart before. And it's all thanks to Teen Challenge for everything they've done for me. And thanks to God for, I wasn't even supposed to do my testimony. Today I'm actually replacing somebody, but thanks to my leadership, I really understand now why this was meant for me to share my testimony today, because next week it makes a year, and by God's good grace, man, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Thank you.
Still you give yourself away. shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm front, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you
the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, I just, every time I get to see these guys come up here and do their dramas, every time it does a new thing in my heart. You know, I'm just so proud of those guys and just them going after the Lord and those kind of skits. You guys did great. You know, so again, we're Teen Challenge Orlando. We are located over in Sanford. And I just wanted to share with you guys just some statistics that of drug addiction and how that impacts the world. So today in the world, there are an estimated 246 million drug users and about 457 million abusing alcohol worldwide. If this were a country, drug and alcohol abuse would be the third largest nation in the world. Every 25 minutes, a baby is born suffering from opiate withdrawal. Roughly 3.5 million people die each year from drugs or alcohol. That's 9,589 deaths per day, 400 per hour, and 7 every minute. We truly have an epidemic on our hands. About 76,000 people die annually in the U.S. due to drug use. It breaks down to about 31,000 due to alcohol and 22,000 overdoses from illicit drugs, and even close to 23,000 due to prescription pain relievers. That's 209 people daily, about 9 every hour. There's 1.3 million addicts in Florida alone. Drug abuse and addiction has cost the American society close to $200 billion in healthcare, criminal justice, legal, and lost workplace production and participation a few years back. So with that being said, we have an epidemic on our hands, you know, and God's calling the church to do something about it. God's calling the church to stand in the gap for those that are broken, those that are hurting, those that are lost, trapped in bondage. and in the strongholds that the enemy has over this nation. So one of the tools that God uses to stand in the gap is Teen Challenge, and it's just a blessing to be able to serve for that ministry and, you know, really get to see miracles every single day. You know, every single one of these guys that I get to look at just sitting here and that's in our program is like a living testimony of God's grace and mercy. The fact that God has brought them and ordained them for this present time and purpose is a miracle in itself, because they're not a statistic right now. So we really value, you know, the support that we get from local churches and from our donors. And one of the ways that if you might be interested in helping support somebody that struggles with addiction, we have something called Hope Has a Name. It's actually a student sponsorship package. It's $30 a month to where that contribution goes towards sponsoring a student in the program and goes towards the funding to help keep the doors open to Teen Challenge centers, not only for men, but women, children, adolescents. You know, addiction knows no barriers. It knows no bounds. You know, everybody sitting in here could probably raise their hand and say that they know somebody that struggled with addiction. So I can tell you it's just an honor, it's a privilege, and I just hope that today, that during the testimony, during the message, during the song, you know, the dramas, I just pray and hope that, you know, you guys feel here leaving encouraged and filled with hope, because there is a God who can deliver and set free from the bondage of addiction, and it's Jesus. So we just want to thank you guys so much for having us. We're going to turn the service back over to your pastor, and we're going to be set up outside. You know, if you want to stop by our table, all of the crafts that are out there, the crosses, keychains, signs, they're all actually made in our program as a way to help fund it as well. And the candles and stuff are from the women's home up in Jacksonville. But, you know, it's a blessing to have been able to come out here and serve you guys, and, you know, have a very happy Easter. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I was very touched by everything that you guys did, the testimonies, the skit, is that what it was called? The drama. I appreciate that. It was it carries a message, you know, that a single person as an individual can't necessarily convey. You know, I mean, sometimes drama like that, either through our kids doing the thing that brought us a message that, you know, it's not over, right? You got that message, right? And the message here is that God does not let up on us. Even though we reject him and reject him, he doesn't give up. He's like, you know, he told the story of the 99 and one, you know, the sheep, that we belong to him. And he's not going to give up on us. And so if you're here this morning and you want prayer for anything, whether you're sick. I saw somebody earlier tonight, this morning at the sunrise service, they were rubbing their back. If your back hurts, if you're sick, if you need prayer for anything, would you be willing to stand up? I would like to have people gather around you and pray for you this morning. There's one there and one there and one there. And would I get some of the people in our church to gather around these people standing? And I want to pray for you guys this morning and pray that God will bring healing or an answer to your prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think there's three guys standing on this row right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you gather around or just reach out and touch one of these people standing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God. Father God, we cry out to you this morning, God. God, we cry out to you, God. Hallelujah, God. We pray that you would bring healing, God, this morning, Lord God. We pray that you'd bring a word of encouragement, God, peace where peace is needed, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, be healed, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord God, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord God, oh God, in Jesus' name, yes, God, hallelujah, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, oh, doctor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we're going through our life, making decisions every day, to decide to get up and go to work, decide to go out with friends in the evening, or this or that, and God is putting you in a position to minister for Him. You don't have to be an ordained minister or a pastor of a church or wear a three-piece suit or a two-piece suit or a five-piece suit or whatever piece suit they have. I don't know. But you don't have to have that. You just need, God just wants your availability. And when you're talking to your friends, and you have an opportunity to encourage them, you have an opportunity to make the world a better place. You have an opportunity to let God move through you and expand beyond the borders of just you or just your group or your church or your family. And so let me pray a prayer for you that as we leave today, that God would go with each and every one of you and remind you throughout the days and the weeks to come that He's willing to use you to change the world. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just submit ourselves to you. We dedicate ourselves to you today, God. We commit our hearts and our lives to you, God. God, use us. God, here we are. We're right here in Castleberry, God. Use us. God, and where we go from today, whether we're in Longwood, Altamont Springs, Sanford, or Florida, Timbuktu, or Arizona, God, we pray, God, that you would use us in whatever capacity that you desire, God. As Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is this day our daily bread? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you.